Hi, this is Dave Kale. Today we're talking about where your business fits in God's economy. Imagine, it's the early moments of creation and God is busy at work creating the universe and has just created his most complex entity, man, or more specifically, the man Adam. He's a special creature. He's made in the image and likeness of God himself and placed at the very top of the created world. So there's some questions. How will God relate to Adam and his progeny? Will he create some special organization like a church and command Adam and all his children to worship him? Will he give Adam a family and expect that in all the decisions and the ebb and flow of raising children and getting along with his spouse, Adam will seek him out, seek God out for wisdom and guidance? What will God do with Adam? For what purpose did God create him? Well, the first thing he will do is give Adam a job. Before anything else, he gives Adam a lifetime purpose and then a specific task within that purpose. Then, within the context of that job, God will work with Adam, speak to him, relate to him, and work together with him. In other words, God created work, and by extension, business, as the venue in which God determined he would speak with mankind, relate to mankind, and work with mankind. Let's just take a look. Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and care for it. Now, this is Adam's lifetime purpose, to work the Garden of Eden and take care of it. Now, while that charge is specifically given to Adam, he was the first of the human race, and this sets a precedent for all the generations that were to come after. In God's great plan, working and taking care of God's creation, not just the Garden of Eden, but the entire creation, the earth as you will provide the context for every person's life purpose. Every man and woman will have a life purpose that fits within that charge to work and care for creation. So then, notice what God did next in Genesis 2:19, quote, "Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name." So God gave Adam a specific task that fit within that general purpose. So again, the general purpose is work and to care for creation. Within that, the first task that he gives to Adam is to name the animals. So it's as if God said, "Adam, your life's purpose will be to care for and work my creation. Now that'll keep you continually engaged forever, as I have filled this creation with enough stuff that generations and generations will continue to work at that. There will be a never-ending set of tasks that will need to be done. So let's begin. Your first job, Adam, is name the animals. I'll help. I'll bring them to you, and you name them." So the first thing, the first job is God gave Adam the task of naming the animals, and God worked with him, teamwork. He brought them the animals and Adam named them. The task of naming the animals resulted in Adam imposing his sense of organization on the creation and required a significant amount of creativity. Whereas before there was a certain amount of incoherence or chaos to creation, one could not even speak about the animals. Now there's a higher level of organization. Notice that Adam's life purpose was given him to God, and it was, quote, to work. Adam's specific task, his immediate work was given him by God. The job given to him required him to use his creativity and resulted in a more organized environment. This is man's unique imprint on creation. And notice that God worked with Adam to complete the job. Now we know that God made man in his own image. There are multiple ways that characteristics of humans mimic those of God. But for the first way mentioned in the Bible has to do with work. One of the characteristics of God is that he is a worker. The Bible opens with the story of him working. We see him working at creating the universe and then resting from his work. Here's Genesis 2, 2 and 3. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Since work is so important to God, when he made man, he made him to be a worker. Notice all of this was before he created Eve. Before there were spouses and families, before there was church, before there were prophets or priests, before there was scripture, there was work. God gave Adam a job before he gave him a spouse. And God chose to interact with man in the completion of the task that he gave to him. God worked with Adam to complete that task. So God's first venue for having a relationship with man was on the job. It's as if God said to Adam, Adam, if you want to talk to me and get to know me, the way to do that is to work with me. Let's work together. So work becomes a foundational building block, not only of the rationale for man's existence, but also as the venue in which God will relate to humanity. In these passages, we see four fundamental precedents set. Number one, mankind's purpose, his lifetime function, as well as specific, will be found within the context of work. God will give man, and as we see later in the Bible, each individual person, God gives them a specific charge within the larger context of working and caring for creation. That's number one. Man's work. Number two, man's work will require him to use his gifts of creativity to create a more and an ever more organized outcome. Number three, God will work with and interact with mankind within the context of his work. And number four, the primary function of man's existence is to do work and do it with God. Now, at this point in the creation story, there are no businesses, as there are no other people. But as the Bible story unfolds and the world becomes populated, we see the emergence of business as one of the primary ways work is done. So these precedents set in the first moments of creation describe how God has worked with mankind throughout the ages. It doesn't matter if he's speaking to a people group like Israel or the church, or if he's directing an individual like Moses or Joshua or David or Paul or Lydia, he gives man a charge and always fits it. That charge always fits into the fundamental job of keeping and working God's creation. Typically, it's a more specific task. And then he works with man in the completion of that task. So we see this pattern. Now, this is a precedent that's set in the early days of creation. But then it becomes, because it's a precedent, we see it as a pattern over and over and over and over again throughout the pages of Scripture. Moses was given the charge to lead the people out of Egypt, and then God worked with him to do it. Joshua was given the charge to take the promised land from the inhabitants, and God worked with him to do it. David was given the charge to unite Israel into a united kingdom, and God worked with him to do it. The list goes on and on, with examples far too numerous to include here. Even in the New Testament, John was given the charge to prepare the way for Christ. Jesus was himself given the charge to usher in the kingdom of God, and was enabled to do so by the power of his Father. Paul was given the charge to take the kingdom to the Gentiles and provided with the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. The pattern is repeated so often that it's impossible to miss it. It's a fundamental way that God works with mankind. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in the letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 2:10, when he said, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So work, and by extension business, is so important to God that he's created works for each of us to do and has prepared them way in advance of our being ready to do them. Just as he gave Adam the task of naming the animals and then work with him on that task, so he gives each of us tasks to do and works with us to do them. It's how he designed creation to operate. Now, while we're familiar with these grand movements of God and the great stories in the Bible that describe them, we have missed one of the underlying truths, and that is this: the primary way God works with man is through our labors and the businesses that emerge from us, from it. We've never seen that before because we've never looked for it. The religious establishment, because it chose to view business as a necessary evil, has had no reason to attempt to uncover the biblical view of business or the incredibly important place business and work plays in God's master plan. If we can look at these biblical verses objectively, it's clear that God created man for work and, by extension, for business. Hi, this is Dave Kale. I just want to take a second and encourage you to expand your thinking and invest less than lunch in The Good Book on Business. That's my 13th book, and it's the one that I am the most excited about. I did a lot of research, and I discovered things about what the Bible has to say about business that you are never going to read and never going to hear anyplace else. I've been a Christian for over 50 years, and I have never, ever heard some of the truths that I discovered in the Bible about business. If you are committed to your business and your career, and if you think that there is even the slightest possibility that God has something in mind for that business and that career, then you need to read The Good Book on Business. Your views about business and your career will never be the same. The Good Book on Business. Just go to www.thegoodbookonbusiness. It's less than lunch. Come on. Okay? Bye-bye.